Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. My name is Scott and joined by me today is James. How are you, James?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Very well indeed. All right, so like every fortnight, we're here to talk about some games. And let's start off with you telling me what you've been playing these last couple of weeks.
What the hell have I been playing? I finished A Way Out on the PS4. I played that with my wife and we platinumed it and we had a lot of fun doing so. The story is good. There's a bit of twists to it. It's actually a very good co-op game. If you've never heard of it, you're pretty much two prisoners locked up together.
Ooh,
and
okay.
You become friends and you've got to find a way to escape prison and catch up with your friends and family and pretty much stop this criminal that put you in jail.
Geez, it sounds just like a TV show I remember from back in the day.
Do you know what that is?
Home Improvement. It was about a dad and family and they had a construction television show. Anyway, so that sounds...
It wasn't like Prison Break, was it?
Oh, no. I wasn't thinking of that one at all. Was that something that you downloaded or is that a physical copy?
It is just available on the PSN network, but I do actually have the physical disc because it was very limited when it was released.
Righto.
So, we boot that up and good to go, but you can still get it on the PSN network. And yeah. I highly recommend it because it's not a game where you turns. It's more you play like co-op on a split screen and everything all just comes together.
Yeah.
I also finished Silent Hill number 2.
Oh, wow.
So that was quite good. Very, very different than what games I usually play. Very eerie game. I hear that the PS2 version is much better.
Yep.
Because with the HD collection, originally Konami, what I was reading, Konami actually lost the source codes of Silent Hill 2 and 3.
Right.
So the publisher that they gave the source codes to were like incomplete.
Right.
So they pretty much had to put pieces together to complete this game, and it took them way too long, and they were just rushed to get this out.
Yeah.
So the mist and the fog is a bit different in this. There's some texture mapping that's a lot different than the PS2 game. And I hear the voices are different. The original voices aren't included in Silent Hill 3, but we haven't gone that far yet. But overall, I enjoyed the game. The PS3 games were actually patched and updated, while if you buy this on the Xbox 360, it was never patched, just because money and with PlayStation back then, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's sort of an almost a retro game for you to tick off your list.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I have also was playing a bit of NBA 2K20 after watching a bit of the Jordan documentary. And we've also played, we beat and platinum Spyro on the PlayStation 4. And Spyro 2, and right now I'm currently playing Spyro 3, Year of the Dragon.
Year of the Dragon. I might actually be the first one, because I haven't played them since PlayStation 1, where you go up to the statue of a dragon and it breaks out, and then you set it free. Is that the first or second one?
That is the first one.
Good game.
It is a very good game. See, back in the day, I only played Spyro just a little bit at someone's house, and I really didn't like it. I thought it was very kiddish. And now, giving it a go for
kiddish
the second time, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. This is shot up into one of my favorite games of all time.
Right. Well, all time. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like as soon as I was done with it. It would be in my top 20.
Okay. You sure? Yeah, okay. Yep.
It's probably at 20 to 23 at the moment, so we're trying to narrow that down.
It's a little inside joke for us podcast runners, but stay tuned for more information about that. But yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, it's good when you can play something, even if it is a HD remake, and really get something out of it. And, you know, they've bundled all three up together. My brother-in-law was playing it on Xbox One. It looked pretty good, the graphics, I must say. Is it like some of those older games that have been redone? Does it have the ability to jump back to the old graphics or anything like that? Is there any throwback sort of throwback to the original?
No, it's pretty much HD and it looks amazing.
Cool. Well, would you say, while we're at it, out of the three, which one was your favorite?
Well, I'm only like a quarter into number three, but at the moment, the first one is still my favorite. Number two was, I thought, too easy, and it was just a bit different, while number three is more similar to the first game, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Who's the developer behind that?
I think Bob's... the original developer of Spyro Insomniac. And they make my favorite games being Ratchet and Clank. And they also did Spider-Man.
Yes, well, the two people who I recommended Spider-Man to have been absolutely loving it. So I've been checking their trophies coming up every couple of days on the PS4. So, yeah, Spider-Man, good game. And I'm sure Spyro is too. Something I'll definitely get at some stage. I might get it on the Switch, maybe. I'll see.
Yeah, no, it's worth every cent, to be honest with you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't know how much I would enjoy it, but I haven't been able to put it down for like the last weekend.
Okay, well, there you go. Is that it that you've been playing, or you've snuck in a bit of Animal Crossing, I see? Kept that one a secret?
No, actually, I bought that for my wife, and she's been playing it. So there you go. She's enjoying it, though. She's enjoying it.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to say, what about yourself? What have you been playing?
Well, it's just been a bit of a few games I've already spoken about on the show, because it's been a bit of a hectic week, but still going along on Final Fantasy 1 on the PSP. I've had to fall back on a walkthrough for it because it's quite confusing. And it can get a bit, there's a lot of random battles, and it can get a bit overwhelming, and you can feel like you're not getting anywhere because you take two steps forward and you go into a battle and, you know, you've got to get across the other side of the map, and it's really frustrating. Yep. Along with that, another game which is quite similar to that is Bravery Default on the 3DS. Those two are pretty similar. Spirit Tracks on the DS, Zelda, which I spoke about.
Yep.
So I've just been playing bits and pieces of those three. Devil May Cry on the Xbox. It's not the latest one. It's the reboot, which I believe has got pretty negative reviews. It is pretty average of a game.
Yeah. You haven't been having a good time with that one?
No, I don't play it very... I play probably one chapter every couple of weeks. It's not going to be a long game, but... probably about maybe halfway through it, but I try to keep, you know, something on the Xbox One going just to mix it up a bit. With that, Paper Mario 64 on the Wii U. Probably haven't really played that one in the last week or so, but looking forward to playing a little bit of it this afternoon. And Hyrule Warriors on the Switch. I'm sticking at that one and trying to complete that before I move on to going back to Animal Crossing and Pokemon. I do like the way those games play, where it's like a hack and slash, very similar to those Lord of the Rings games on the PlayStation 2, or, you know, a Samurai Warriors, Dynasty Warriors, that sort of game, where it's just, but it is because it's got the Zelda theme and all the, you know, Hyrule characters and enemies, it's very immersive in that culture of that game, and just, you know, it's very well done for what it is, but it is just something you can, it's almost mind numbing, you can just pick it up and just go. So it's fun to do.
That's good.
I did just complete The Walking Dead, the final season, actually this morning. So
Telltales?
Yeah, it was. I've now finished that whole set. As I've said in other episodes, they're not really games, more so well, they are games, obviously, but they're more so the story, and you're playing for the story to watch the story, and then you're selecting outcomes that change the development of the game up a little bit. So,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was a bit unsure about how it ended. I'm not really, I wasn't a huge fan of the last show of it, but it, you know, it was cool to complete it. But yeah, it's, well, I wasn't looking back at it going, oh, that was fantastic. But yeah, you know, another one ticked off, I guess you'd say.
Okay.
And I also completed Super Mario Brothers Wii U,
yep.
Which, let me tell you, is an extremely hard game. And I am pretty proud that I beat it, because that last Bowser fight was insane. It probably took me about 30 tries.
Oh, good, because you've been working on that for a couple of podcasts.
And it kept me away from the Wii U, because it was so frustrating, just dying and dying and dying. Thank God there was a save point right before the last boss, because it is an absolute nightmare. If you're looking for a bad time, go and play that game. Or just look up footage on YouTube of the last boss, because it, I had to watch it on YouTube and see how it's done, and then basically mirror what I saw on the video to try and overcome it. But yeah, it's done, and it was painful, but at least I can say that it's complete. So Paper Mario on the Wii U, the Wii Color Splash on the Wii U has gone back into the drive, so I will start working on that one and try and finish that.
Because you got about halfway into that game when you first started playing it?
Probably about three quarters. And for whatever reason there, I just swapped. I sort of got a bit burnt out from it. It does get quite difficult, so I switched back to some other Mario games. And then obviously with the move and stuff, I just sort of put it away. But when I was cleaning up some games the other day, I sort of took about maybe 20 titles from each console that I wanted to play and put them to the side so I can go through them and finish them off. Like, you know, like Batman, Arkham Origins is in there as well to finish. So, yeah, just a few titles.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're getting through your games, which is good, and you've still got plenty to beat.
Well, I'm not really getting through them, to be honest. I'm probably getting about an hour or so into each one every now and then when I can, but it's, as time goes on, it's probably going to get harder. But, look, I'm enjoying the time I get to play them. I do like to talk about them, and, you know, obviously we know that playing them is only one part of it, really.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of pickups, you mentioned Animal Crossing that you purchased for your wife there. What, any other titles you might have picked up lately?
The only thing that I can think of is Time Splitters 2 on the GameCube. But that's about it for myself. Time Splitters 2, like when we get the GameCube set up, it's just I've got so many other games that are actually set up to play and beat at the moment that that's what I'm trying to work at. But once I start knocking through the GameCube titles, I'm going to hit up that Metroid Prime, because I really want to beat that. But yeah, that's about it in terms of pickups. What about yourself?
I didn't really mention this on when I was talking about what I'm playing, but I guess in terms of Metroid games, just quickly, I did go back and start playing the NES version. Just to try and complete that and start maybe working through those games.
How are you finding that?
Yeah, look, it's super challenging. Thank God for the save states. But yeah, it's very difficult. But in saying that, it's a lot of fun, and you can, you know, obviously see where it all started from the first game. But I have been cheating a little bit and watching a walkthrough on it to know where to go, because I'm not really interested in immersing myself in it like I would if I was getting it back in, when was it, the 90s or the 80s. I just sort of want to get through it, but I am enjoying playing it. But it's also fun to just watch a walkthrough and go, okay, I've got to go through that door all the way to the top, take a left, and then, you know, die from a flying bat thing. But yeah, so I'm starting playing that. The reason, yeah, is because I wanted to start working my way through the Metroid series. I know that you've been all over the Metroid series, and apart from Other M, I haven't really played a great deal of them, and a little bit of Metroid on Super Nintendo.
That's good, because, yeah, I saw you were chatting to one of your mates, I think, on Instagram, and he was saying, like, print out, like, a big map of it.
Yeah, he was just, I don't actually know him, but he's a Melbourne-based game collector, and he just wrote a comment about it, which is cool because we like that kind of thing. And
yep.
he said, you know, you go down and get a map of it. But look, I don't know if the missus would let me hang a map of it, but I was definitely, you know, I'm definitely keen to get through that. And that's the best thing about the Switch, and that's they've hit it, you know, they've hit the nail right on the head with that kind of capability of just picking up games and just playing them anywhere, anytime. You know, I was the other night, just had a quick 15-minute go on it and just, you know, got to the next part, got the power up rockets, and then just saved it and turned it off. And, like, you know, it's, But I did just, breaking news, just got the copy of Metroid Samus Returns on 3DS.
Okay, beautiful.
An eBay bid. So,
yep.
There you go, $40. $40, and the only other copies I could see were for 50 plus. Upwards of $80, some of them. So it must be getting harder to come by.
Must be.
Because I think, obviously, they're not developing 3DS games anymore, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah, as I mentioned in a chat that we were having, like, that's probably the last time I played my 3DS was on my honeymoon, and that was a couple of years ago. And I had, I think, Samus Returns is still in there. But it's a fun game. It's a remake of Metroid 2 on the Game Boy from 92. And I don't know how, like, the game is good, but I don't know how I feel about the graphics that were put forth. I don't know. Mixed feelings about it, but I still enjoy it.
Someone else developed a game, an independent version of it, didn't they? And then Nintendo got annoyed and I think put a copyright against them or something like that, and then went and made their own version. But apparently the other version that was made by an independent developer was much better.
Like, with this game, like, they've got, like, a counter button, so, like, you can avoid, like, the enemy's attacks with just pushing this count. It's all about timing base. But yeah, I did hear that the fan made version was more true to the original. Well, this is totally different, but it's kind of got the same feel to it, but I don't know. I haven't played the other one.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, there you go. Did Well, in terms of other games that I've downloaded from the store this week, I ended up getting Final Fantasy VIII, the remastered version on the PS4, because I have never played that. I haven't played it, so don't ask me how it is.
No, I was going to, and I stopped myself.
Okay, fair enough. Well, look, it's pretty good. No, I'm just kidding. I ended up getting Umbrella Corps, which was the game that I was trying to place a few weeks ago, which is the online COD copy for Resident Evil, selling for $5, although I haven't been able to play it because no one's online anymore. I don't know if the servers are shut or it was just, like, from the training missions, it's obviously a pretty crap game, so there's no one really playing it, so... disappointing, but that's what it was Umbrella Corps. Castlevania Requiem, Symphony of the Night, and Rondo of Blood, which was the pack on the PS4 store on sale. I decided to pick them up because I loved it on the PSP, and I just thought it would be fun to play on the PlayStation, to be honest. So I got that. Fighting EX Leia, which is a independently made fighting game from Japan. I've been trying to get a copy on online on eBay, but because of the virus, everything's shut. So I was able to get a copy of this, and I've been playing a little bit of that, which has been quite fun. And what else I can tell you? I think that's about it for this last couple of weeks. There hasn't been a lot of game pickups. I did buy a second copy of Secret of Mana on the DS because the first one got lost in the mail. I got a refund, so I just purchased it again.
Okay.
Happy days.
Is that with PayPal?
Yes.
Yep.
No, so, that's good. That's cool that that's back. Not too many, but there's not really much I can think of that I'm interested in getting coming up. I haven't really heard of anything coming out that would interest me.
Okay.
Anyway, let's move on to the next part of the show, which is the topic for this show. We're going to talk about our favorite and some memories around our favorites for the Ninja Turtle franchise, video games related to the franchise. So why don't you start us off, James, because I know you're a big Turtles fan and a big Ninja fan. But,
So
why don't you tell us about your favorite Ninja Turtles game and, you know, some memories you have around playing it.
Oh, favorite Ninja Turtle game, or I actually have games. There's a lot of games in the series, spanning from the NES to the GameCube, PS2 to even now with Nickelodeon. But my original game that I ever played was on the NES. It was the first one that they ever released from Palcom, and it's where you can switch out the four characters at any time to access their abilities. You do have your Bebop, your Rocksteady, your Shredder, and whatnot in the game, but a lot of the enemies, they're not even based off the comics, they're not based off the TV show, they're just random characters, and they make no sense, but it's still a fun game for what it is. It's very hard. But it's more of a strategic game. You really got to think about which character you choose and which character you play with, because if you are going to play with Donatello, you do not want to lose him real early because he's got such a big reach. But if you play with like Michelangelo, he's actually got a very small reach, but he's actually stronger against certain enemies. Same with Raphael. You've got to use him wisely, each character wisely, and then you can get quite far in the game. But once again, I haven't beaten this game. I've mentioned it on previous podcasts that it's something that I want to beat. Mm-hmm. So I really got to work towards that. I do have another favorite on the NES, and believe it or not, it's not Turtles Arcade, which is many people's favorite Turtles on the NES. It's actually Manhattan Project, and this game only came out in Japan and the United States. We never actually saw it in PAL regions. Yeah. And it's very, very similar to Turtles Arcade. It's just more refined, better controls, it's all tight, the graphics are better. It's just a more fun game to play.
Yeah.
I have more childhood memory with the original NES game compared to Manhattan Project, but bad things to say about Manhattan Project. It's something that you got to play if you haven't. Either you can pick it up, play it on a ROM, or I suppose you'll have to import a copy. I happened to purchase it while in the States in 2016 and hearing good things, and it is a very good game.
Oh, good.
One of my favorites is Tournament Fighters on the Super Nintendo. I've played it many times with you, played it as a kid. I used to hire it from the store all the time.
Yep.
Never bought it, don't know why, but it was always something that I used to hire from Video Boom. And I still love it to this day. It's a stupid little story in the game where you're pretty much got to fight for in the tournament. And then I believe you end up fighting a version of yourself at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a fun game. It's quite difficult towards the end. Difficult.
Yeah, it does. Look, you do fight a shadow version of the turtle that you're using in the story battle mode. You know, and then... I think once we completed it together quite many years ago, we were playing as Donatello through it. And, it does get challenging, but you can always turn the difficulty down.
Yep.
It's different to the one on the Sega as well.
Yeah.
It was
also on the NES as well.
Do you own the NES version?
No, this is also Japanese and USA exclusive as well, and it costs... a lot of money to get.
Mm. Do you have the Sega version?
I do not, because I hear the Super Nintendo is far superior.
Well, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I actually remember seeing a copy of the Sega version at Video Games Heaven in Knox City and thinking to myself, I didn't realize it was on both.
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go.
But have you ever played it though?
No, I have not.
No. Well, maybe we should play it. We should pick it up and actually play it.
Yeah, it would be cool to have in a ROM. Yeah. I don't know.
We've also got Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo as well. It was a game that I hired all the time from that same video store as a kid. Don't know why I never purchased it, but I did pick it up on cartridge when I was about 18 or 19. I got it from eBay, which I think I mentioned the story. It was from someone around the world, so it was pretty expensive for a Super Nintendo game, in my opinion, back then in like 2008? And that was only like $20. I thought that was expensive. Now the game goes for like $100, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I remember having the Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time remake on the PS3.
Yeah.
I think it was called Reshelled. And
Yeah.
Did you ever play that? Because I had it and I didn't really like it, so I deleted it. But I don't even know if you can re-download it anymore.
You can't. Never played it. I've only played the, I believe it was a bonus in one of the PS2 or GameCube games that had like Turtles in Time inbuilt into it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the same thing, but that's what I played, and I wasn't a fan of it.
This one was 3D graphics, and it's called Reshelled, and it was, yeah, I remember it very early on in the PS3 store, and I think it was a free copy. Or it was cheap, and I got it, played a little bit of it, and I go, oh, this isn't that fun, because it just didn't really handle the same as the older version.
Okay.
Okay, well, there's a few games that, any others, even the later titles, or you sort of burnt out a little bit after the Super Nintendo era?
Like, I didn't mind the first one on the PS2. It was the 2003 series, so good game. Like, it's pretty much the same sort of concept as the old games, where you just keep playing, keep trying to get through it as far as you can, and if you die, game over, got to go to the start, which I kind of enjoy because it's a challenge to get good and better and improve. So yeah, the early 2003 PS2 series or GameCube or Xbox, they were pretty good games, but I'm not as familiar with them than what I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think I talked about the one on the Xbox One probably maybe 3 or 4 podcasts ago, playing that. Not really sure what it's called at the moment. I'll probably find out for you. But yeah, just I had a copy of that. It's pretty average, although it does feature characters from Tournament Fighters, which I thought was cool.
Yep, good little throwback.
Yeah, well, obviously for me, I mean, Tournament Fighters is definitely up there as the best in my eyes, for Ninja Turtles games, because that was one I sort of played a lot of when I was a kid. Never owned it, but hired it quite a bit, obviously, because we were fans of the show and the figurines, everything Turtles. But yeah, it was just a really fun, vibrant Ninja Turtles game. Obviously, you could shoot sort of energy blasts out of your mouth and stuff as out of your swords with the turtles, and sort of, you know, it had characters from the comic book series, which at the time weren't really in the show, if I remember correctly.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, so Wingnut, Armageddon, or whatever his name was. I don't know what his name was. He was from the Archie comic series. I do remember speaking about that on the other episode. But yeah, you know, we've spoken about this game pretty much the whole time we've known each other, how cool it was. Even to this day, you know, we'll say phrases out loud in public areas that are from the show, from the game. So, yeah, when I did finally start earning money and bought a copy of this, I was pretty happy to play time to time, because, you know, a great game, great version of it too. As I said, never played the NES or the Sega version, but why would I if that one is far superior? The other one that stood out for me was a game I got for my birthday in 2003. Back when I was cruising over your joint for Domino's pizza and, you know, various other types of minced meat. Anyway, yeah, so I got a copy of It was based off the TV series, the reboot of the cartoon at the time, on the Game Boy Advance, simply called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was made by Konami, and Konami really dominate on 2D side-scrolling games, because this game just looks amazing and it plays great. Although the story is based around the show, it doesn't really hold true to the show per episode, but, I don't think it got really well received, but I just remember having such a fun time of it, and I've actually played it a few times over the years, and yeah, it's still quite fun. It's got boss fights, different sorts of racing levels. It even had a sequel, which was Battle Nexus, which I think is the direction the show went in towards its later years, but I'm not really sure because I stopped watching it when it changed a bit. But yeah, it has, it's a great little side-scroller game. It's very different to, I was trying to figure what it was. It's more like a Mega Man sort of game, almost slow-paced fighting, but you actually have a life bar and you can take damage.
Okay, it's so different.
Yeah, have you ever played this one?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, maybe just look it up on YouTube. But it's similar to the one on the GameCube, but obviously it's a Game Boy Advance game, so it plays like a really well-done Super Nintendo game, but I'm trying to think of something on the Super Nintendo which would be similar to what this is. And I can't really think of anything right now, but yeah, all I can say is it's like a Mega Man sort of Metal Slug sort of looking game and plays like those two.
Okay.
So, yeah, really cool. It's got the animated shows start up in the game, so that's cool to watch, like this intro on your Game Boy Advance, and music, and it's got the dialogue is narrated, so it's got voice acting. It's really cool game.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but the one on the game that you spoke about, this on the PS2, the one, but I had the GameCube version, and yeah, absolutely love that. I lost my copy. I don't know what happened to it, so I got it recently on the PS2, and it's just as good. It's obviously a PS2 game, so you can feel the age in it when you do play it. But, as far as a Turtles game, it's pretty good.
Okay. Is there any other games that you played?
No. I played the arcade game. There used to be one up at the pizza store, which I do love as well. But, Turtles in Time, obviously, that one stands out. I know you spoke about it, but obviously we've played a bit of that together, and I've played it when I used to play SNES games on the computer on the ROM. I just played a lot of that, and I got a copy from Japan, and now I play it on my I don't know what my Super Nintendo handheld thing's called, the one I'm talking about. You put the
Super Boy,
that one, you put the cartridge in the back. Yeah, so I played on that. It's quite fun. I don't play it to complete it. I just play it because it's just a fun, well put together game. It really highlights what the Super Nintendo can do.
And you also purchased Turtles Arcade on the Famicom, if I do recall.
While we were
in Japan.
Yeah, I got pretty much all of them except for the fighting game. I got that on the Famicom. Yeah, so I played that. There's an arcade version on the NES as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the arcade was the one that you picked up because they didn't have the original Turtles game in Japan. Yeah. They went straight to the arcade game. So to what we know is Turtles 1 over there.
Yeah, okay. All right. You're right. I played a lot of that on our trip because I had that little handheld NES player, and that's cool too. That's a well done game because even though it's not the intro from the show, they've pretty much done their own version of the cartoon intro into the NES.
It is a good game. That's what I was saying. It's good, but I still prefer the Manhattan Project better. Mm. But overall, it's still a really good game. It's a fun game to play. And because it's co-op as well.
Yeah.
That was the first one that was co-op. It's good to play with friends.
Okay, so that's it for now. Why don't you take us through some gaming news?
Okay, we had Super Mario Maker 2 update, which lets you build worlds. So you can build like your own Super Mario world in a way.
Yep.
Nintendo confirms up to 160,000 accessed accounts. So a huge huge privacy breach. I don't know if you had anyone try to sign into your account, but I know I did. But they didn't get through. So I got an email from Nintendo. We had Trials of Mana was released. We had a new update for Animal Crossing was released as well. Now, Animal Crossing sold 5 million digital units in March.
Yep.
A lot of that would have contributed to the COVID-19, with the physical game being sold out during that period. And the fact that most stores are closed as well, so a lot of people would have been downloading.
Mm.
We had Streets of Rage 4 was released. Cyberpunk 2077 gets an R18 rating in Australia and doesn't get censored, to many people's surprise, because it's going to be a very crude and violent game as well. We had Assassin's Creed Valhalla cinematic trailer was released. So yes, that's the new Assassin's Creed game coming out. A lot of people loved what they saw. We got rumored that we may see a new Perfect Dark. Now, I hope so, because I actually enjoyed Perfect Dark Zero on the Xbox. That was one of the main reasons why I bought a 360. And it was kind of like a... Yeah. Did you play it?
No, but my friend Eric was absolutely in love with it when we were younger. And I did play the original on the Xbox, on the Xbox One, on the Rare collection.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Perfect Dark Zero, please bring out more, like, Rare. Like, I don't know what they've been doing. Why spend so much money on this company from Nintendo to not do anything? What do they bring out? Viva Piñata?
Oh, man, you're messing with the classics here.
Do you like Viva Piñata?
I didn't mind it, no.
Everyone I know.
Yeah, well, it's a good game. Have you played it? There's two of them.
I haven't. I just keep dissing it because my wife likes it.
Why don't you go play it this week and talk
about it? Maybe I should. We also had Last of Us 2 and The Ghost of Tsushima. This is released in June and July of later this year. So, big 2 months coming up for gaming in June and July. Yep. Because Naughty Dog, being Last of Us, is one of my favorite publishers, and The Ghost of Tsushima is also by Sucker Punch Games, which is another one of my favorite publishers. And yeah, that's all the gaming news I have.
Oh, okay.
Should we get into our two reviews? All right. Zombies Ate My Neighbors is a run and gun video game developed, as mentioned, LucasArts, and published by Konami for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Mega Drive in 1993. You can play as either one or two players in a co-op style game, and you can either play as Zeke or Julia, and you must rescue your neighbors from monsters. Now, aiding them in the task are a variety of weapons and power-ups, and they can be used to battle the numerous enemies in each level. Various elements and aspects of horror movies are referenced in the game, with some of the more violent content being censored in various territories, such as Europe and Australia. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we get sticked with the censorship. That's why a lot of people were shocked that Cyberpunk 2077 is being full R18+, no censorship. So we know it in Australia and Europe as Zombies, while overseas they know it as Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yep.
And the monsters in the game are based on the classic horror films released in the 1950s and more modern films like Friday the 13th and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And once again, weapons in this game have been censored for us. Like, weapon effectiveness is also based on these. You've got werewolves. They die in one hit if attacked with silverware. and vampires die faster if attacked with crucifix. A sequel called Ghoul Patrol was released a year later in 1994 because the game did really, really well worldwide. Now, I first played this probably about 7 years ago, and my God, is it a really fun game. It's just got to run through your neighborhood or your house of each level. Free as many people as possible without dying. Kill off as many enemies as possible. That way you can free off the neighbors. There's just different monsters, and they're depicted really well in this game. Yeah, that's all I can say. You have to play it to find how fun it is. The further you get, which every level, the harder the game is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get cheat codes, save codes to access the level. Like, I think you have to go through about 4 levels or 5 levels to get a new code. That way you don't have to do the first 4 again. Yeah.
Good start.
That's my game. 8.5 out of 10. Yeah, it's one of the good ones on the Super Nintendo. I haven't played it on the Mega Drive or the Genesis, so I don't know how different it is besides the censorship.
Yeah.
It probably is going to be better because you get the whole effects. But yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, my game is about Italian engineer who is looking for a career change and has interest in finding cures for diseases linked with bacteria.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
No, so he goes to night school, where he then transitions to university and then later on does his PhD and becomes Dr. Mario and releases an action puzzle video game produced by Gunpei Yokoi on the NES, Game Boy, and later the Nintendo 64.
Yep.
Go on. Anyway, so developed by Nintendo and R&D One, the publisher being Nintendo, Dr. Mario is a, just like I said, action puzzle game released in 1990. I'm sure you would have played this at some time, and you've probably heard me talk about it as being one of my favorite puzzle games.
I have definitely played it before. It is a fun game. I actually haven't heard. I didn't know that was one of your favorites.
It is. I bought it. Bought 2 versions in Japan. I bought the Super Nintendo one in the box and the NES version in the box.
Yep.
I had it on. It was my first Game Boy game. For the original Game Boy that we had as kids, not my personal Game Boy, which was Wario.
Yep.
Being the first game. But the producer, Gunpei Yokoi, which I'm probably saying it correctly.
Gunpei Yokoi.
Gunpei Yokoi. That's it. Hi. He also worked on other games like Super Metroid, Metroid Return of Samus, Fire Emblem Gaiden, Super Mario Land 2, Golden Coins, Yoshi's Cookie, which is one of our favorites here at the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast.
Okay.
Kid Icarus and Solar Striker, along with Balloon Kid. Anyway, let's talk about Dr. Mario. Dr. Mario is a falling block puzzle game. The player's objective is to destroy the viruses populating the on-screen playing field by using colored capsules that are tossed into the field of by Mario, featuring fantastic music, which to this day I still think about and possibly hum between bus stops. So the player has to manipulate each capsule as it falls, with the goal being to align similar colors which removes the viruses. The player progresses through the game by eliminating all the viruses on the screen and in each level. And this has appeared on many best Nintendo game of all time lists, including my own list. You could say it was my top 20. Stay tuned for that episode. So, yeah, it's popped up again on the Game Boy Advance. We've seen it on the classic NES series. We've seen it in WarioWare in some extent. We've also seen a Dr. Luigi in the Year of Luigi, which was released in 2013 during the celebration on the Wii U. So, as I mentioned, it is a puzzle game. It was a different spin on the Mario character, giving Mario a new identity as a doctor trying to defeat these viruses. Now, if I recall correctly, in my childhood, I'd go into a Kmart and there would be a all the children's clothing section would be Dr. Mario themed clothing, and I used to rock some Dr. Mario themed clothing.
That's cool.
You know, so I was inspired by Mario so much that I became a plumber as my day job, but I could have become a doctor. It could have gone either way, but I chose plumbing. And I ended up, you know, with a dog named Bowser. Anyway, so yes, we have also seen an arcade version of this game. I don't think we've seen it in Australia, but there is photos online of it, which would be cool to play. It is something that I would be very interested in playing and seeing in an arcade, because you don't see many standalone Nintendo machines. I don't think of any.
Not anymore.
No. But in Dr. Mario has appeared in the Super Smash Bros. Series as an unlockable character.
Yep.
Starting from Melee on the GameCube. I actually played as him as my preferred player and played as Mario before I'd unlock him. If you're wondering, you probably weren't. Yeah, so for me, yeah, I had this game pretty much my whole life. I was very happy to see it pop up on the Switch because I've played it many times on that. I'm not overly good at it, if you were wondering. I'm actually bad at it.
Okay.
But I do enjoy it, and I think that it is something that it brings me a lot of joy, and also something that I'll need to stall to fill up this review, because there's not a lot to talk about it in terms of actual gameplay.
No, there's not, but there's a lot of memories there, which is good.
There is a lot of memories, and also you can change the music of the game, which is one of the highlighted features. Not just the difficulty. I know you were wondering, is there more the one sound track on it? And the answer is yes. But as I said, it's been ranked heavily on best games. Nintendo's top 200 games was in there. It was in Screw Attack's best game of all times. It was in IGN's, came in at number 51 of the best game of all time, but in NES. And yeah, so have you? You've played a lot of it. I'm sure.
I played it on the original Nintendo. I do have it on the original. I've got it on the Super Nintendo as well. It is actually the Angry Video Game Nerd's one of his favorite games as well. He gets so into it every time it comes up or mentions. You can just see his eyes light up on it.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's just a very fun game.
It is a very fun game. It's a very simple game, but it's done really well, and everything about it's got a lot of charm. I can see why it's in your top 20.
Well, yeah, and I've just been handed a piece of paper by my assistant here saying that he didn't actually appear in the Super Smash Bros. Brawl version. So that's my mistake, but then again, I didn't actually play Brawl. I played through the opening title screen and then decided that I'd move on. So
you know what? I didn't play Brawl either. I played them all except Brawl.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just somehow on the Wii, I just missed it. I just didn't play it. So absolutely love the one on the GameCube, love the one on the Wii U, and love the Switch version, not to mention the 64 version. But yeah, the Wii version just fell through the gaps for me.
Yeah, me too.
So the most latest game for Dr. Mario was released on the Android or iOS called Dr. Mario World, and that was in July 9th, 2019. And before that, we had Dr. Mario Miracle Cure on the Nintendo 3DS.
Okay.
So there you go. I didn't know about that one, but those are the two most recent. And yeah, just a little fun little puzzle game. We don't talk about many puzzle games here, but we are today, so this is the puzzle special.
No, it's good. It's good. That was a good review.
Well, it's not done yet, so hold your horses there.
All right.
Hold up. Hirokazu Tanaka did the game's music and also worked on one of your favorite titles, Metroid 1986, Kid Icarus 1986, Super Mario Land 1989, and Tetris, as well as Mother, and then Earthbound. So there you go. He was involved. Well, he still is involved in the Pokemon series for the music. So he's had a pretty successful career.
That's good.
So he also designed the Game Boy camera, if you were wondering.
I didn't know, but that was good.
Yeah, so that's my review, and over to you.
Well, I'll just finish off the podcast with where you can find us. So you can find us on Facebook, Power On Retro Gaming, and also same handle on Instagram. And you can find this podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, and Wooshka as well. And Power On.
They were game collectors, and they were the best of pals. Talked about a podcast, and now they're here to fill your hour. Power On, Retro Gaming Podcast. Power On, Retro Gaming Podcast. Power On, Retro Gaming Podcast.